Surely wasn't that his love? Amen. That he had for us. Amen. Let us all stand. Go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come into the house of the Lord, and Lord, just to feel your presence here, Lord. And just, Lord, we just love this place, Lord, and coming here to meet you and with the saints of like faith. We pray, Lord, tonight that you just have your way in the service, that you would accept our worship tonight. And Lord, bring forth word to us, Lord, to help us in our walk with thee, that our faith may grow stronger in thee, that we'd have a closer walk with thee, Lord. We just ask that you just have the preeminence in everything that's said and done. We just give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn our capstone books over to page 23. There's a happy land of promise that he's promised saints one of these days. Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon his glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
In your heart tonight? Amen. Let's turn over to page 27, page over there. Keep on the firing line. Amen. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face.
souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin. With a shout of welcome, we will all march in. So people, the firing line. Oh, you must mind, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind.
Pressing on, saints. No matter what we're going through in life, he's here. He's with us. He's with every step we go. Amen. Let's turn over to page 47. Heaven's Jubilee. What a morning that's going to be, saints. Amen. So,
morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh,
saints.
Good. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative. Father, we sing these blessed songs of Zion. Lord, how wonderful it is to know you and to serve you. Lord, a living God. Father, Lord, we put our trust and our faith in you, knowing you never fail. Lord, your word never fails. Lord, we can look at your word and see it. Father, hold true from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
And Lord, it puts an assurance in our heart that we're serving the true and living God. Yes. Lord, bless this part of the service, Lord, the offering, Lord, that may be used for the upbuilding and glory of your kingdom.
Yes.
Father, we may reach out to lost souls, Lord. We just ask that this place be a lighthouse to all.
Yes, dear Lord.
We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, the Great Emancipator.
Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name.
hands tonight. Brother Paul, will you take the prayer request?
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord Jesus, this day, Lord, just look to you for our strength and help.
Yes,
again, Lord Jesus, as we come before you, Lord, needs, Lord Jesus, as we know you're the one that can take care of all of us, Lord Jesus, and Lord, for all the people that have lifted the hands, Lord Jesus, you know their needs upon their heart, Lord Jesus, and I pray just grant them peace, wherever you might be, Lord, and just heal their bodies or strengthen them, Lord,
yes.
Whatever it might be, Lord Jesus, we know you're the great healer, Lord, all things are possible, Lord Jesus, and just commit the reign of this service in your hands now, and may you just bless each and every one that's here, just the word goes forth, and may we hear from you once again tonight, in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone have a special night you'd like to come and sing? Grace.
Cause God to forgive all your sins and set you free? And what would cause God to give you His word and let you see? There's no way to explain it.
His amazing grace. Let us all stand as we ask our brother to come. Let's sing that little chorus, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful by grace that, Lord, you've been giving us eyes to see, that, Lord, we could see in this day, in this last hour in which we're living in, and knowing it won't be long that you'll appear, and all this will be all over with, this life down here. Lord, all the things that people are in turmoil about and striving for and have different goals in life and places they want to go and things to do. But Lord Jesus, may it be our greatest desire to do thy will, O God, above all things. We ask now as we sit here, Lord, and listen to your word, that you'll give us eyes to see. Lord, as the little song we just sang, Amazing Grace, Lord, we're so thankful for spiritual eyes to see. We pray now thy will be done as we wait on you to speak to our hearts through that word now, and help each one of us to commit ourselves unto thee and yield to you, Lord. Yield to your word, for your word is spirit and it is life. So thank you now for all things, and we'll give you glory and praise for everything. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Let us just read a little scripture before you sit down and honor to his word. And we'll read here in St. John 17th chapter, and we'll read the first to the third verse. Amen. And so glad to have Brother Harlan and Sister Lucy with us tonight. I think it's Paul's cousin. Is that right? Amen. I got that right. Amen. So it's just a privilege. Pray that they'll feel comfortable. And amen. We're just, as old Brother Pitts was over a bunch of hillbillies. Amen. So, you know, ain't no big eyes, little use here. We're all saved by the grace of God, you see. All right, St. John 17, first to the third verse. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And thinking about this, I just want to read a few scriptures this evening and just talk about that spiritual eyes to see. You know, as he said here in the scripture, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I can't help but to think over the years of preaching the gospel that how many times you see people, are actually serving God. They feel that they are and serving the Lord, and they really don't know Him. And the thing is, there's something real about knowing Him. You know, it's, and you can tell in people's lives they don't really know Him, you know, because they don't give their heart to Him. Their lives is just kind of a, you know, half backslidden attitude. And sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, I'll do what the Bible says, but I really don't want to do that. You know, it's not really out of the love of God in their heart to do so and to serve the Lord. It's just something that we profess that we're Christians and believe that we're believers and so forth, and really don't understand what it is to really know the one true God, you know. And we know He is the Word, is He not? You see, you know, people begin to get imaginary things in their mind, and they try to put forms constantly in their mind, you know. But if you can see, He's the Word. And as I said, my prayer and the Scripture says, my Word is Spirit and it is life, you see. And God is a Spirit, you see. And people don't understand that. And the eternal Logos, the eternal one. And we realize that, as the Scripture says, we'll just go ahead and read it before I say more. John 1, this is St. John 1. We'll read this to renew our minds back to it. First verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And if we'll just skip some, go down to the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, it became Jesus Christ, you see. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to notice that, full of grace and truth. And if you ever get to know the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, you'll see He's full of grace, He's full of mercy, and He's full of love and compassion and kindness and gentleness, all these things. But He also, by the Scripture, we know He's a God of wrath if we do not do what He says to do. You see, which is what will happen one of these days to many people. They will fall to the wrath of God because they have disobeyed what God told them to do. And we have the roadmap always in front of us, the Bible. And it tells us exactly what He wants in life. But if I don't really get to know Him, I don't understand Him and don't understand His ways, how could I really do those things that would really please Him? You know, so many people just think, well, it's just taking on a profession. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian, you know, and I want to serve God, and they think that's all there is to it. But friends, there's something about it when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, really, truly have a new birth, and Christ comes and dwells within you. Then it changes your entire thinking and your being. Everything about you becomes centered upon the will of God, and we realize it's what we're here for. We are here for no other purpose than to serve Him and give our whole life entirely to Him, that He could become that expression in our lives, that we could declare to this nation and to this people that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not just a God of stone, a God of wood. It's not a cloud floating on, not a sun floating around, but He's really living in people and dwelling in them. And we know that if this same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us, it quickens our mortal body. Yes, by the same Spirit. And it brings this whole being under submission to His Word. Being, what am I saying when I say being? We are a triune being. We are made up of a flesh body. We have a spirit, a human spirit. We have a soul. And we know, as the prophet told us, the flesh body has five senses. We have hear, taste, feel, smell, sight, we see. So we have those five senses, and there's five senses of the human spirit. We have imagination, Don't we all have imagination? You can imagine different things, absolutely. We all have memory, don't we? Absolutely, we do. We have conscience, absolutely. We can reason. And we all have affection, you see. So we have those five senses that is the human spirit itself. But there's something so much greater than those 10 senses. Then the five senses of the flesh and the five senses of the human spirit, God gives us a soul. An animal doesn't have that. But we as human beings, God has given us a soul. And it's a nature. It's a controlling source. It's what controls us. You see, because the soul within us is what controls the spirit, the human spirit. I'm talking about the conscience, reason, imagination, memory. Then that controls the flesh. You ever hear a little saying, what we are on the inside is what we are on the outside? It's because that's what we are. And if we do not have that new birth, where the Holy Spirit has taken over on the inner man, we'll call it, to where it's Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of this being, then we will never be able to bring this body under subjection to his word. Because the senses will be carnal. You know, Paul mentions in the book of Romans, the carnal mind is enmity against God. God can't stand it. You see? The carnal sensual realm, he can't stand. That's why we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why the scripture says, ye must be born again. You know? There must be a new birth take place. To where Jesus Christ comes in the throne of your heart. And he's the control seat. He's the control tower. That then, and then only, can you live by his word. We try hard through the senses. Because remember, the Bible says to do this, and it says not to do that, and it says to do it this way, not to do it that way. But you'll never, ever be able to be like Christ until you are filled with his Holy Spirit. But there is something that takes place under the filling of that Holy Spirit. Then is when you can truly understand who God is. Then is when you can truly understand the Word. Look how many different interpretations there is of different scriptures in the Bible. You take this group over here, may say this means this and this means that. But always remember this, the true interpretation of it. God is his own interpreter. He interprets his own word by his Holy Spirit. And if it's the word, it will stay in continuity from Genesis to Revelation. It will never, ever break continuity if it's God. And if it's the truth that's being presented. Anytime man gets in, we know we've heard a lot of different things over the years. I'm sure we all have. And this man may interpret this way, and this man interpret that way. But always remember there's one true way. Amen. One true way. And that's God's word. Now, how can man or woman understand it? Unless it's revealed. But again, remember, if it's revealed, it will go together from Genesis to Revelation without breaking continuity. You see? All right, so let's read another scripture before we go too much further. Let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter. And let's read something here. Just to show you something here that it takes our Lord Jesus Christ to reveal the word to us. Okay? Book of Luke 24, and this will be about 13th verse, save a little time. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, this is after our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and he rose. Okay? And these two men were on their way to Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And notice who's with them. Our Lord Jesus. Okay? But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. What you think of that? Think real good. Their eyes were holding. Now here was the Lord Jesus Christ himself walking with these two men. But their eyes were holding that they should not know Jesus. Okay? And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? Because, see, there was going all the events that happened and about the Lord Jesus being crucified, and my, now they didn't have him with them, and now what was they to do? They was just so confused. They just wanted to know what to do in life now. Things was just really a messed up world to them now. All right? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Now here they are talking to the Lord Jesus. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? I mean, what's wrong with you, Fowler? Haven't you heard what's going on? Don't you understand the terrible things that has happened to our Lord Jesus, you know? And he said unto them, what things? Now he's going to get them to talk a little more. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now look where they were standing at. They knew that much, you know. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. My, they remember. They're talking to the Lord Jesus, but they did not know him. Okay? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Because they heard he was going to raise on the third day. And here he already did, walking with them. Isn't that something? And people can look right at the Word of God today in this hour and still not know what it's saying. Absolutely. God help us to not be that way. But the revealing of it can only come by the Holy Spirit. You see? Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonish, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Are we able to believe all that the prophets have spoken? All the prophets. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now he's breaking bread with them, the Word of God. Okay? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. That's always a good thing to do. Oh, abide with me, Lord Jesus. Invite him in. Don't close him off because of a creed, a doctrine, an idea of man, but invite him in, you see. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open. Their what? Their eyes were open. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Wow, isn't that something what he can do? He can be right there and you don't even know it and you don't recognize it. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. He's right there and they can't see him. He'll tell them exactly what he is in his word. He'll tell them exactly what he's going to do in the last days. He tells them exactly what to look for, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And they don't see it because they're blind. Lord Jesus, all of us, help us, give us eyes, salve, Lord, that our eyes may see what you want us to know. Because only through him will your eyes be opened regardless how long you may say you know him, regardless how long you may have served him, but until you really know him, how are you really going to serve him?
Amen.
You see? And then they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Didn't say our eyeballs. Did our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And friends, there's something about it. When the Lord Jesus Christ begins to open his word to you, there's something on the inside that takes place. There's a stimulation or revelation.
Amen.
It's the revealing by the Holy Spirit what he wants you to know. And there's a burning. And some people never have experienced that burning on the inside. It's just whatever somebody tells them. Yeah. I know a lot of us has been in that position before in the past. Just whatever some preacher told me. But regardless of what that preacher said, unless the Holy Ghost opens your understanding, it means nothing. You'll try to remember it and you'll try to do what he said. But then you're trying to do what a man said. But what about doing what the Lord Jesus said? See, that's the most important thing. Oh, my. No wonder he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Amen.
What the Spirit saith unto the church. You see. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Let's back up and read that 32nd again. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, see what he was doing? Open up the scriptures to them. They'd already heard the scriptures. They knew what it said. That's why they were sad. They was all confused and worried about because they crucified him. But now the scriptures was being opened to them so that they could understand. You see. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Now. Oh, wait a minute, there, just a little bit ago, they're walking along the roadside to the village, sad. So sad-hearted. But now, all of a sudden, the Lord is risen indeed. He hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them in the breaking of bread. Now, it's a whole different picture than what it was before, you see. And how it is so true that when the Holy Ghost begins to open your understanding to the Word of God, it's a whole different picture then. And there's something about it. Where the Spirit of the truth is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Liberty in the Spirit, you see. And you feel inside there's something taking place that's so real and so genuine. When we're living in a world where everything's so fake and so defiled, so perverted by man, where food isn't even fit to eat hardly anymore. Animals, the hybridization and all the chemicals and all the medical things that they do to the animals and so forth have become so defiled, causing all these cancers and different things. But in a world of all that trouble and filth, there is a truth and there is a liberty of Christ living in your heart and in my heart with reality, you see. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. All right, let's go on. And while they yet believed not for joy, see, things all get different now, remember that. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Now he's going further, show them he has risen. Now this is really getting exciting to them now. Yeah, they're really being assured now. There's nothing more exciting and more happy and joy-giving than having received the truth of the Word of God and not some man's ideas.
Amen.
And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you. See, he already spake unto them. Look how many times the word of God has been spoke to us. And has it really become real yet? That's the thing, you see. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Oh, ain't that glorious to have your understanding enlightened to where you know exactly what God is saying. What a joy that is, you see. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, before they couldn't. And they could tell about it. I think of how many times preachers get behind pulpits and they bring their sermon and begin to preach and they don't even really know what they're saying. You say, why would you say that, brother? I'll tell you why I say that. They get behind a pulpit and begin to preach and they'll read from these holy scriptures and they go out that door and they'll lie just as much as anybody else does. They'll cheat anybody just as much as anybody else will. They'll get angry just like anybody else does. They'd steal off of them if they could. Yeah, they'll try to connive different things in the congregation to get past different things they're trying to hide. They don't understand the scripture. They're blind, you see. But their eyes, if they have been enlightened and understand the word of God, how could they willfully come against God's word, you see? For once a man or woman has received the truth, the understanding, the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a change, friends. A change of reality. And there's no turning back. And then when you pick up that Bible and begin to read, and if the Holy Spirit enlightens your heart to it, it becomes a new Bible, you see. Amen. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. All right, let me back up here a little bit, another different place here. Let's go here. If you want to turn with me, turn to 1 Corinthians and the second chapter, 1 Corinthians, second chapter. I'm going to type down here so we can get to it a little quicker here. So 1 Corinthians and 2. I won't try to hold you too much longer. First verse, 1 Corinthians 2, first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So you don't need a theologian. You need the Holy Ghost. You see. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith, what is faith? It's revelation. Well, so many people have faith so mixed up, they think faith is hope. Huh. Hope without faith is just wishful thinking. Faith is a revealing of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit revealing the Word to you, you see. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now think of that. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you know what happens if he would not have been crucified? There would have been no blood to cover our sins, friends. Oh, no. We'd be standing here today still, the filth of this life laying all over us. But through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, we are forgiven. And it's put in the sea of his forgiveness to be remembered no more. That's true justification. you see. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. Notice that revealing. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How could you have something revealed to you by such a powerful Spirit, such as God himself, and not know it? Impossible. For if the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, you know it. Absolutely know it. Yes. But so many people don't experience that. They don't have a clue what it is to have the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to them. It's just something learning. Learn the scriptures. Learn what the prophets said and learn this. It's more than just learning. But it's the Holy Spirit revealing, you see. That's what makes it alive and real. It's scripturally proven. If we had time, we'd go through the whole thing. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Yeah. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see? We know, as a man, I stand here and I know how man is because I am a man. You see? Now, what if the Spirit of God came within one? You, I, whatever, whoever it is, would we not know the things of God? Absolutely. Oh, yes. One thing about it, we better know the things of God, for that's life eternal. To know the one true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see? That's eternal life. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now that's really special, to receive the Spirit of God. That we might know the things, yes, that are freely given to us of God. Didn't say of man, did it? Of God. Sure, man has to be in the picture too because that's his representatives, you see. He uses man to bring the word of God. But keep this in mind. The true fivefold ministry will always speak only the truth and the truth only. Yeah. Because he gave, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come into unity of the faith. Yeah. The perfecting of the saints. But you think God's going to use a man that he hasn't really called? Oh, there's all kind of men out there. Yeah, there is. But make sure wherever you go, if any of you people ever leave here, you make sure you find one that's truly sent from God. Not a man who just picked up his Bible and went. Not to went to some seminary to learn it. No. One and only the Holy Ghost has gotten a hold of and indwelled in his heart to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom or which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There you go. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You ever give somebody the Word of God and they think it's so foolish? They think it's silly. They think it's crazy, you know? But you take someone that's filled with the Spirit of God and hear the same thing that this one over here heard. And this one will say, hey, man, I see that. That's so real. That's so great. That's so tremendous. And this one over here will say, well, that's a bunch of silliness. My priest said to do it this way. My elder said to do it this way. My pastor said to do it this way. My teacher said to do it this way. But what did God's word say about it? You see, remember, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, which is understood. All right? Now, let's go back to another one here real quickly, and we'll try to close for this evening. Let's go ahead and read here, if you want to turn to the book of Matthew, 13th chapter. And let's read a few things here. Let's see if we can catch something here. Let's just go ahead and begin the first verse. We're getting pretty quick here to where we can still let you out probably within a half hour, just shortly after. All right, Matthew 13, begin first verse. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came devouring them up. What was sowed? The word of God. Okay? Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now think of that. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It must be something special given to some people. Let them that have ears to hear, hear. Okay? And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? See, it was sown to them in a way that they just couldn't put it together. They couldn't get it. You know, it was just parables to them. Okay? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. There's some it's not given. Yep, there's some it's not given to know. It's not given to everybody to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But he has a people that it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to never ever be able to understand the word of God, and yet serve it, yet try to live by it, go to church constantly, pay your offerings, tithes, whatever it may be that goes along with so-called Christian walk, and never be able to understand it. It'd be a terrible thing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Imagine looking right at it, listening right to it, and never get it. Wow. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, amen, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's so precious. You're so blessed if the Holy Spirit can reveal the word to you. You're so blessed if there's something, even as we sit here tonight, and there's something on the inside. Keep telling me more. I want to hear more. I want to know more. Blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed. Because not everybody has that. Not everybody has that on the inside pulling and drawing them to pull them. It's called a desire. To know and find out all they can about Jesus Christ and the truth of the hour in which they live. You see? How blessed we are. You see? We'll read one more in closing. Won't you, sisters, come to instruments, please? This is St. John 14. And we'll begin about the 15th verse. Just read this. And we'll close for tonight. There's much to say on these things and read, but I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to present a few of these things, let you think about it again, and have your heart on it. All right, St. John 14 chapter, and begin 15th verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Truth. Think of that. The Spirit of truth. My. As I've said before, and I'm sure in your experience, in your walk with Christ, you've heard many things over the years. But I've mentioned this before, but to show you something, just bring back to your remembrance. Could you imagine feeling in yourself that you're a solid Christian? And you may have served God from the time you was a child. And be able to say something as this man told me one time. When he knew he was caught, now he was a deacon in his church, but he knew he was caught cursing. He knew I was a minister, and he knew I seen him, and he knew I knew he was a deacon in his church, and always talking about the Lord, and yet using God's name in vain. I didn't say nothing, but when he looked over and seen me, his countenance dropped very quickly. Well, then, moments later, he didn't come right then, but then moments later, he came over trying to make an excuse. I didn't say nothing to him, but he just knew the truth I stood for. And he began to say, I want you to know something. I believe as long as I take communion every Sunday, I can do whatever I want, and God will forgive me. What a sad picture. Now, that man claimed he knew Jesus Christ. Now, he's dead now. He didn't live much longer after that. But he claimed he knew God. He was a high-standing deacon in his church. But what a sad note it ended on. But he did not have the Spirit of truth. He had a part truth. Now the blood of Jesus Christ will cover your sins. But not to abuse it. For when Jesus Christ comes within you, there's something about it, your whole desire has changed. You have a greater desire than you ever had in your life and a greater experience that it's something that you love God, and you love to serve Him, and you love to obey Him. It's something real. And that's what comes to those that enter that place with Christ. A spirit of truth comes to where they know what God is saying. They know who God is, and they know Jesus Christ that was sent. And it's not just a religion. It's not just something people talk about and try to live by, but it's something that Jesus Christ comes in our life and takes our life over. As Apostle Paul put it in Galatians 2:21, I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that us? Is that us tonight? That I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to myself. Dead to the world. I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. For the things of this life cannot distract us. But we know for surety, a blessed assurance, we are sent here to do the will of the Father in all things. That people can truly see Jesus Christ really lives, not by what I wear, not by what I think or what places I go, and maybe try to tell people with my mouth, because my mouth may not tell the right thing sometimes. But may they see a life that is so real, so genuine, that they'll know Jesus Christ lives. You see? In closing, even a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. So are we supposed to know him? Absolutely, we're supposed to know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How could this great almighty God be in us and people not see it? Something's wrong. But do they have to look at you and see you telling foolish jokes, acting carnal, doing carnal things in the world? Or can they look at you and see Jesus Christ and know that Christ lives in this hour by what he does through you? Yes. For he is love. And love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. That's what many people leave out. Long-suffering. Yes, it is. Long-suffering can't happen unless the same thing keeps happening to you. As people do the same thing to you all the time, or the same thing keeps happening constantly, then that brings long-suffering to pass. You see? Maybe that agitator just keeps coming up to you and trying to agitate you. How long-suffering are you? You see? For Christ is long-suffering. Look how long-suffering he is with us. It's amazing grace. It saved a wretch like me, because I truly was a wretch, just like the rest of you. Saved by grace, his mercy, his love. May I never fail to give my life to him for what he's done for me. And that's the way real love will be. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. All it's more than just proclaiming, professing. He lives in you. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You're going to know it, friends, if he's in you. How could he be in you and you not know it? My, you see him controlling your life. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. What is amen? So be it. Amen. So God's word is true. This is life eternal. To know the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Do you know him? Amen. Really know him. Not just the Bible now, but do you know him? If you really know him, that Bible expresses through you without you even trying. It's a life that you cannot live yourself. That's what makes it so attraction, such an attraction to people, when they know it's something you can't do. Amen. I tell you many experiences in my life, but I'm sure you can tell me yours too. But there's many different times in life you've seen that happen, you know. And, you know, maybe people just scream right in your face and you can feel the heat and smell their breath. They're just screaming at the top of their voice. And you begin to return good words and kind words and gentle words. It turns away that wrath. Yeah. And then people look and they've seen that happen. And they'll say, how did you ever do that? I would have smacked that person. No. There's a love for that person. They don't know what they do. Isn't that what Stephen said when he was stoned? And they were stoning him and accusing him of what they did. Father, they know not what they do. Isn't that what our Lord Jesus did on the cross? They know not what they do. If that same Spirit dwells in you that raised Christ from the grave, oh my, it will also quicken these mortal bodies by His Spirit. And it will live through you. Without trying to think about it, without trying to make yourself. But when He, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall come, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now we're talking about real life. We're talking about real Christianity. But people are losing the reality of Christianity. They don't understand to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. But today we got anything calling themselves Christians. I know people, personal friends in the town next to us. Personal friends say they're serving God. Say they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of churches smoking cigarettes. Women wearing pants. Or women wearing clothes that shows the shape of their body. Friends, it can be clear to the floor and hanging 300 feet back. If it shows that woman's hips swaying and swinging and shows her bosom, that's not modesty. No. It might be covered, but it ain't modesty. To be modest is to be in a wearing position of clothing that it does not attract attention of a man. That's true modesty. Yeah.
Amen.
I want all you sisters always remember that. Yeah. Always remember that. Yes, we all, sisters, wear dresses. Yes, what we believe. But just remember, if you show your body in any way to cause a man to lust, you're in death. For he that looketh upon a woman to lust after hath already committed adultery with him in his heart. Already. And no adulteress will enter in to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let us all stand. Thank God for His precious word. Again, the truth shall set you free. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. All right, anybody got a song you want to sing? Amen. Anything that's on your heart? Amen. Brother Timothy, your mom. Catch all on the songs. You got one you want to sing, Dave?
I'd like to sing that little 575 again.
575. Let's sing that. Amen. That's in the Only Believe book. Amen. 575. All righty. Help me with it, brother. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name, oh Master, Savior, Jesus, the fragrance Sing it again. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, Master, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven, hallelujah, and earth proclaim. Away, but there's something about that name. Oh, isn't there something about that name? It's just so sweet, so refreshing. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Oh, something about it when you just call on His name and you feel the power of the Holy Spirit come down. Oh, what a blessing it is. Amen. I love Him. He's so wonderful. Amen. Let's sing it one more time. Brother Timothy, come dismiss us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Yes. Master, Savior, Jesus, after His fragrance and after the rain. Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus, amen.
Let all heaven
and earth.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about,
hallelujah, glory to God,
again,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, yes, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise
Jesus.
God, hallelujah.
Jesus.
There's just something about that name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Master,
Savior, Jesus. Oh,
like the fragrance, amen.
That's after.
Jesus,
Jesus. Precious name. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we love you. Thank you for your love and mercy, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bow our head.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service,
oh God.
Lord, I'm so glad that as those two disciples walked on that road to Emmaus, the Lord denied I know what they meant, Lord, when they said, did our hearts not burn within us? And Lord, to be able to sing this little song, Jesus. And Lord, to know the many times that just at the mention of your name,
yes,
to feel the sweetness of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Lord, when it's spoken in love and humbleness. Oh, Lord, Master, Savior, Redeemer. Oh, Lord, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, as our brother spoke earlier, Lord, we thank you for that precious desire that burns within our hearts. That, Lord, we don't serve you out of a creed or out of a law, but Lord, we serve you out of a love from the depths of our heart for what you've done for us. And Lord, in humility, we thank you, Lord, for without you, we see where we would be. And Lord, it's only amazing grace that we stand here today. Lord, we thank you. You mean so much to us, Lord. We love you. Father, we just ask that you would bless each and every one that had the time and took the opportunity to come out this evening. And Lord, we just ask that some way through the precious word, something was able to feed their hearts. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring us back to the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, we just come asking you to have your way. And Lord, feed us of thy precious word. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory for it. And the lovely, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't he so sweet?
Amen.
Glory to his name. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Take his name with you. You're all dismissed. Amen.